Welcome to this emergency weekend update for Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. Mike Adams here. And the reason it's an emergency is because of what happened in the Moscow concert hall. So a group of militants entered this concert hall. I'm not going to show you videos because they're quite gruesome. And they opened fire on the civilians attending the concert. At least 50 dead. It looks like over 100 injured. Those numbers may become much higher. So this is a mass shooting in Moscow. And it's becoming kind of like Russia's 9/11, in a sense. Except, of course, 9/11 was in a way allowed to happen by the U.S. government in order to crack down on the civil liberties of the American people by claiming the government needed all this power to go after terrorists, right? That's not what this is in Russia. This is clearly a terrorist event targeting civilians. And the reason this is such an emergency and why this will impact you listening, maybe most of you in America, is because the Russian people now have an emotional state because of the perception of the cruelty of this. You could even say this is kind of like the Russian people right now feel the way that the Israeli people felt after October 7th. That's the equivalent here. And you notice that after October 7th in Israel, almost everybody supported just the mass extermination of the Palestinian people, right? And that's what has been driving Israel since October 7th. And driving, by the way, the popularity of Netanyahu, who was very unpopular before October 7th. Well, Vladimir Putin was very popular before this attack, with something like 87% approval in the recent election that just completed. He's even more popular now, probably at 95-96% approval would just be my guess. Not unreasonable to guess that number. But more importantly, the Russian people will very likely attribute this attack to Ukraine and possibly United States trained Ukrainian militants, regardless of who actually carried out the attack. And this is what's critical to understand. I mean, ISIS has reportedly claimed responsibility for the attack, but they gave no evidence that they were responsible. Maybe they're just claiming it. Even if it is ISIS, is it U.S.-trained ISIS militants? What if ISIS is lying? What if they're covering for Ukraine? What if this is actually Ukrainian militants trained by the CIA, perhaps, or trained by the DOD? You know, there are a lot of possibilities. But it doesn't even matter who actually carried out this attack. What matters is that the Russian people will largely believe that Ukraine carried out this attack with U.S. backing. And this is going to give Vladimir Putin the widespread support across the people of Russia, his cabinet members, the Duma, his cabinet equivalent, I should say, his military leaders, all of them are now going to fall in line behind anything that Putin wants to do, or Shoigu, or Medvedev. And Medvedev has been talking in the most dramatic fashion about nuking Europe. And we are right now on the precipice of Russia launching nuclear weapons against targets in Europe. And Macron from France is only making it worse by claiming that he wants to send in troops to attack Russia. If there's going to be a nuclear attack in Western Europe, France will probably be hit first. Not the capital city, not Paris, but military bases probably, or NATO buildings. Any kind of military logistics planning, intelligence, military bases, staging areas for military troops and so on. I can see at this point, Russia just about to hit the go button on nuclear weapons against Europe. which may include, by the way, striking cities in Ukraine. If Russia has an opportunity at this point to take out Zelensky with a nuclear weapon, and I don't know where Zelensky is, but Russia probably does. If they could take him out with a nuclear weapon, they are probably very strongly considering that right now. Because understand, this is a highly charged emotional state that Moscow is experiencing. The people of Russia are experiencing. They are emotionally in a fervor of outrage. It's kind of like the way America felt after 9/11. Kind of like the way New Yorkers felt. And across New York on September 12th, 2001, you know, every New Yorker was ready to go to war against the so-called terrorists. Of course, only later did we find out that the whole thing was rigged. But right after the attack, people signed up for the military. People volunteered for the military. They were so outraged. How could we be attacked by these Middle Eastern terrorists, they said. Of course, it was all a media lie. You know, it was all a CIA operation, obviously. But the emotional impact was so strong, and that's what the people of Russia are feeling right now. And this gives Vladimir Putin and others, such as Defense Minister Shoigu, gives them the latitude that they need to lash out with more aggressive retaliatory strikes. Now, unfortunately, that might be playing right into the hands of what the West wants. This is critical. You know that this whole time, even since 2014, frankly, since the coup in Ukraine, the West has been trying to provoke Russia into a nuclear attack. And especially since February of 2022, the special military operation. In the 2+ years since then, there have been so many attempts by the West to provoke Russia into launching nuclear weapons. It is my belief that the West, led by the US, desperately needs Putin to nuke Western Europe or even the United States. Why? Well, because the Democrats are losing their grip on power. They're about to lose the election to Trump. The American people are fed up with the policies of the Democrats. There's more and more talk of secession or uprisings, revolts, civil wars. States like Texas are defying the federal government increasingly, and so is Florida as well. And many other states like Missouri are suing the Biden administration over censorship and similar issues. There are state lawsuits against the EPA as well, and against even, you know, the FDA or the vaccine push. So the powers that be in the United States are losing their grip. They need a big emergency. They need a reason to cancel the elections and a reason to declare a kind of martial law. They need a reason to do what Zelensky did in Ukraine, which was to shut down all dissident media, to halt all elections. I mean, you notice there are no elections in Ukraine, by the way, which makes it doubly hilarious when Zelensky says that Russia's election was not legitimate. Where are the elections in Ukraine? Oh, that's right. They've been canceled in complete violation of Ukraine's constitution, by the way. No elections in Ukraine. Not allowed. Why? Because Zelensky is a dictator. That's what they want for America. But they need Putin to play along. They need Putin to nuke somebody. And that's why the West keeps provoking Russia. They keep pushing Ukraine to do things like fly drones over, you know, bus stops and drop grenades on civilians, or to attack in nuclear power plants or what have you. They're trying to get Putin to react. And sadly, this mass shooting event, which now has quite a lot of footage that's available online, again, I'm not going to show it to you because it's rather horrific. This is going to push Putin toward an escalatory reaction. So this event, regardless of who's behind it, serves as an escalation pivot point toward World War III. Now, it's clear that the United States knew about this. Why? Well, because there are all kinds of mainstream media news stories dated March 8th, about 2 weeks ago, that said that all Americans and British citizens should get out of Russia immediately because there was an imminent threat of a so-called extremist attack that would target crowds, including theaters. So Western intelligence agencies knew about this. They even alerted the media, and the media wrote lots of stories about this. You can find all kinds of stories right around March 8th and 9th talking about this, urgent warnings to get out of Russia for Westerners. And the details of that warning have now come true, that there was going to be an imminent threat of an extremist attack on crowds in theaters. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So at this point, it's very difficult for Russia's leadership to not come to the conclusion that the West was behind this. Because how did the West know? How did the West know? And now you can start to see the reaction of this from the words of Medvedev. He says, quote, to the families of those killed in the terrorist attack, sincere condolences and sincere strength to all the loved ones of the victims. He said, if it is established that these are terrorists of the Kiev regime, now understand that's an if statement. It has not yet been established, but he's saying if it is, quote, it is impossible to deal with them and their ideological inspirers differently. All of them must be found, he says, and mercilessly destroyed as terrorists, including officials of the state that committed such atrocity. And he signs it off by saying death for death. Wow. It's also being reported that there's a white minibus with Ukrainian license plates that was found at the parking lot of the concert hall. And there are more and more Russian leaders that are starting to speak out and say that this was a terrorist attack conducted by Ukraine. Now, of course, all of you listening to this, you are very sharp. You're critical thinkers. You don't believe propaganda. You don't just automatically believe some narrative, right? So you're all probably thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Was this attack actually a false flag carried out by Russia against its own civilians in order to whip up public support for whatever it is that Putin and Medvedev actually want to do, which is probably nuke Europe? Okay, so that possibility absolutely exists. And because of the fog of war, we can't know. You and I will never know. And we certainly can't trust any of the governments that might be involved to tell the truth. All we know right now is that ISIS has claimed responsibility, which sounds like complete BS to me. So who does that leave? Who could have done this? Well, Ukraine could have done it. The US could have trained militants to do it. Or Russia could have done it to themselves. But I'm here to tell you that it actually doesn't matter who did it, in the sense that the effect is the same. The effect is the emotional invocation of such outrage and anger among the Russian people that right now you can bet that they are calling their representatives in the Moscow or in the Russian government in Moscow and demanding, they're probably demanding. I mean, you can only imagine the conversations. They're probably demanding to nuke, you know, every Western city right now. They're probably saying, they're screaming, you know, nuke Washington, D.C., nuke Paris, nuke London. You know, that's probably what they're saying. Now, Putin is known as a relatively level-headed person. He's not known to be easily provoked. That's a very good thing at this moment. However, Putin will no doubt be facing tremendous domestic political pressure to do something dramatic, which means if this event was carried out by Ukraine or America, then Putin has been caught in an escalation trap. He has to respond in some way that the people of Russia feel like is, you know, I guess vengeance, justice for what they see as this attack on their people. But, you know, in the big picture here, by the way, the killing of 50 people and the wounding of 100 people, I'm not trying to diminish the lives of these people in any way whatsoever. Every death and injury is a tragedy, And I have routinely called to end this conflict and end the bloodshed. But I must point out that these actual casualty numbers are tiny in comparison to what's been going on the front lines of the war and the number of Ukrainians who have died. Even though Zelensky claims only something like 31,000 Ukrainians have died in this war, which is an absurd, ridiculous number, the number of actual deaths is easily 300,000, maybe 400,000. Some have said 500K. And if you count wounded, it's easily approaching a million Ukrainians, you know, killed or wounded in this war. And how many Russian soldiers have died? Well, it's hard to know, but it could be 100,000, could be more. So the actual number of deaths in this theater is not the issue. It's the idea that even civilians aren't safe going to the theater, you see. And understand that Russia is a culture that is rich in the symphony and theatrical productions. Russia has a very rich cultural history, obviously, as Putin said to Tucker Carlson, gave Carlson a 30-minute lecture on the history of Russia going back to before the year 1000, you know, and making Americans zone off and go to sleep, which is a mistake because Russia, the history of Russia factors into the identity of the Russian people. The Russian people see themselves as very culturally enriched, sophisticated, informed, as having historical longevity as a culture. And when a center of cultural experience, such as this theater, is attacked with a terrorist attack, the psychological wound to the Russian people is far beyond the mere number of casualties. It is an attack upon a cultural institution that is part of what defines the Russian people. This is part of what it means to be Russian. And if you're not safe in a theater because terrorists broke in and shot innocent people who weren't on the front lines of the war, who weren't manning artillery, who weren't flying military jets or dropping bombs, people watching a theatrical production, well then, that's why there's so much outrage, because that is unacceptable to the people of Russia. And I wanted to give you all that context so that you can understand what's about to happen. Personally, I don't see a way that Putin can now not launch some very aggressive retaliatory strikes, possibly with nuclear weapons, but certainly with something like thermobaric weapons against whatever nations that Russia declares to be involved in this. So Russia will no doubt launch an investigation. I mean, that's already begun. The version, you know, Russia's version of the FBI is collecting evidence, interviewing people. Some arrests have already been made, apparently, and you can bet people are being interrogated. And they're going to get to the bottom of this, at least as far as we know, and we're not there. We can't say firsthand what's happening, but Russia's going to get to the bottom of this. And at some point, maybe very quickly, they're going to announce who they believe is responsible for this attack. And whoever they name in that announcement, they are in dire trouble because they're probably going to get nuked. And Francis Macron threatening to send troops into Russia, which is a mechanism to try to sweep NATO into the war, to try to bring in the United States, which is frankly something that Israel is doing as well, trying to get the U.S. involved in a war with Iran. And France wants to get the U.S. involved in a war with Russia. This is a grave mistake on the part of Macron, who has apparently utterly forgotten the history of France and Russia and Napoleon, and I think the year 1812 or 1814 or whatever year, I think it was 1814, the year that Russian troops occupied Paris because they beat back Napoleon all the way to France. And Russia can do it again. France has nothing that can beat Russia. Germany has nothing that can beat Russia. Oh, yeah, I know. France has some nuclear weapons. Yeah, little puny Renault and nuclear weapons. What do you have? 100 of them? 150? 200? Yeah. Russia's got like 7,000 nuclear weapons. And you can't dodge them. You can't evade them. Russia's got all varieties of nuclear weapons. The reentry vehicles, the hyperglide vehicles, the hypersonic missiles with nuclear tips. Russia's got small nukes, medium nukes, large nukes, and kiss your ass goodbye nukes. And France would be obliterated. Obliterated. Paris would cease to exist if Russia pulled the trigger. And that's what Macron is tempting Russia to do in this act of national suicide. And it just feeds into what's happening right now. I mean, Macron, given what just happened in the theater, Macron should issue an announcement apologizing to Putin at this point. We apologize, you know, for threatening Russia, because Russia's not in the mood right now to deal with puny Macron. I mean, to deal with his shenanigans, in other words. You can bet there's a room somewhere in some bunker underneath Moscow where there's probably about 25 top Russian war generals with their fingers on nuke buttons, just waiting for the command, just waiting. And they're probably, you know, calling upstairs, can we do it now? Can we press it now? They're just waiting for the go. And you and I, we should beg God for some kind of intervention that can de-escalate this situation. Because if Putin decides to start nuking European military bases or command centers or cities, do you have any idea what that's going to do to all of us all over the world? I mean, number one, we share the same hemisphere, you know, the northern hemisphere. So we're going to get radiation. Do you have any idea what's going to happen to prices of oil and gold and silver? You have any idea what's going to happen to the euro and the dollar? I mean, this could set off a cascade of collapses rippling across Western civilization. This could bring down the United States of America through a series of events and also bad decisions on the part of the leaders of America. There are bad things that can happen from this. And all it takes, look at World War I. What did it take to start World War I? One assassination. One assassination. And why did that spark World War I? Because conditions were set for global conflict. And that's where we are right now. And this militant attack at this Moscow concert hall, this feels to me, this is the Crocus City Hall in Moscow. This feels to me a lot like the kind of trigger spark event that can set off a world war. Concert goers described somewhere between 5 and 10 armed terrorists that had a lot of gear. They appeared to have ballistic vests and they had full auto rifles. And they were just walking up to people and shooting them at point blank. And they had beards, black beards, it is said. And some of the videos depict them reloading quite competently. So they're emptying magazines and reloading and emptying magazines and reloading. And by the way, it makes me wonder, How could the security be so easily overcome at a concert hall? I don't know. Are the Russian people allowed to carry firearms inside a concert hall? I kind of doubt it. But I know that if this happened in Texas, there'd be like half the audience would pull out a gun and start shooting back. I don't think that's the way it works in Moscow. I think there's security outside. And I think those security guards were the first to be murdered. And then the audience, you know, the participants there were just, you know, sadly, as we say in English, it was like a turkey shoot, which I don't mean any disrespect by that. I just mean that the people were defenseless and they had nowhere to go. And so the militant gunmen just opened fire and kept emptying mags and kept reloading and kept it going. So this event will reshape the history of the world in a very bad way. That's my point here. And then we have this solar eclipse coming on April 8th, which is increasingly suspicious to me because you have multiple U.S. states that have been issuing emergency declarations over the fact that the shadow of the moon is going to pass over the United States. Why should a shadow cause hospitals to be filled? Why are multiple states and counties urging citizens to prepare with extra food and water and emergency supplies because of the shadow of the moon? You know, night falls across America every night, obviously. Nobody freaks out. The hospitals aren't filled up just because the sun sets over the horizon. I mean, what are they thinking is going to happen here? And I get the sense, although this is not an official prediction, just to be clear, I get the sense that some people in the know are going to use the solar eclipse event as some kind of a cover story to do something rather nefarious, like maybe launch an EMP weapon and blame it on the sun, you know? Or maybe do a cyber attack on the power grid and blame Russia. It just seems to me like there's way too much in the realm of emergency, you know, buildup for April 8th. And I hope and pray it's just a giant dud. I hope it's like, yeah, there we go. You know, the sun's partially covered by the moon for, you know, 2 minutes and 12 seconds. Okay, done. Everybody go home. And I hope everything's fine and nothing happens. There are no earthquakes, no EMP weapons, no terrorist attacks, no bioweapons, nothing. That's what I pray for. But it seems to me that somebody's going to use the event and maybe use the crowds to do something nefarious, to try to spark, I don't know, a domestic chaos or an uprising or some kind of something to blame Trump, maybe, probably, you know, somehow. They always want to blame Trump and they're desperate to try to win the election. But the situation with Russia is far more dangerous than the solar eclipse situation in the U.S. So be on alert for what's going to happen over the next few days. And right now, in all seriousness, I would urge you to be prepared for a nuclear war to break out in Europe over the next, you know, couple of weeks. And that means, of course, you won't be able to find a vial of iodine for sale anywhere after the first nuke drops, by the way. You won't be able to find garden seeds. You won't be able to, you know, I mean, gold and silver will be impossible to obtain, probably. You know, it's the whole scene is going to get semi-Mad Max very quickly when the first nukes start to fall. And people are going to lose their freaking minds. You won't be able to buy ammo or firearms or any of that stuff. So we are very close right now to not just World War III, but a nuclear war in Europe. We're very close to seeing the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. Maybe French people, maybe British people, maybe German people. I don't know. Maybe Polish people, maybe Romanian people because of the military bases there. I don't know. But Russia, with this attack, is being pushed over the edge. And may God help us all. The situation is not good. So please join me this weekend in praying for divine intervention. If God's hand ever could make a critical difference, it is right now. And as a nation, we need to repent for our sins. As a world, humanity needs to repent for its sins against God and life and creation. And yet, I don't think that most people even give a crap. They still reject God. They reject God's teachings. And we are living among a planet of a suicide cult. And Western Europe is probably going to be obliterated. And probably Israel will be as well for different reasons, but from the Arab nations, I mean, imagine once Russia starts to nuke the countries of Western Europe, you think Hezbollah is just going to sit there and do nothing? No, Hezbollah is going to say, you know, now's our chance. Fire everything at Israel. You think Iran is just going to sit there? No, they're going to say, now's our chance. Nuke the U.S. Navy. You think China is just going to sit there? No. China's going to take advantage of the opportunity. Oh, it's time to take Taiwan or whatever. It's time to invade the U.S. It's time to, you know, invoke all the actions, whatever they have planned. Folks, one trigger away from a domino effect of cascading world events that could lead to the complete destruction of Western civilization as we know it because of what happened in one concert hall in Moscow. This is history unfolding, and it's the kind of history you don't want to ever witness. And yet, here we are. So get prepared in every way you can. I'm not going to plug anything here because this is an emergency broadcast, but you know what to do. Get ready. Be prepared for chaos. Be prepared for World War III. Be prepared for nuclear weapons. Unless something changes, that's exactly where this is headed. And I don't know how much time we have remaining, even to be online. Oh, I will mention one backup communication method, which is Bastion, Bastyon. Go to bastion.com, download their app. It's a decentralized peer-to-peer social media app. And in fact, I'm going to bring it up here. My username there is Health Ranger. And if you follow me on Bastion, understand that even if all the name servers are taken down and you can't get to domain names like brighttown.com or naturalnews.com, as long as any kind of internet is functioning, you'll still be able to get emergency alerts from me through the Bastion app. In addition, for those of you who have the satellite phones, there's a service with those satellite phones that probably came with your phone. It's called Galileo, and it's where people like Steve Quayle and myself and Doug Hagman and others, where we can log in and we can issue very short emergency alerts of about 125 characters. And that will show up on your satellite phones. And that's from the satellite phone store, of course, which is a sponsor of ours, sat123.com. But when comms go down, if the internet goes down, I'll be using those two methods. I'll be using Bastion, and I'll be using the satellite phone Galileo service to get out emergency messages. And I'm desperately trying to get my AI engine shipped out the door so you can download it for free before the solar eclipse. So that's roughly 2 weeks away. I'm going to get that into your hands, even though it's not 100% done, but I'm going to get it to you, what we have, so that you can have that and it works offline. And it's packed full of survival skills that can help you in a nuclear war situation. So I'm doing my best. You keep doing your best. And I don't know if it's worth, I mean, yeah, you could try to warn people who are not awake yet, but they don't have time at this point. If they haven't prepared, they're so far behind the curve, it's too late. I mean, help those you can, but don't run around trying to convince people who just want to be blinded to the truth about what's happening in the world. There's a bunch of people that just want to sit around and pretend everything's great, and you just, oh, stop being negative, you know. Well, are you going to say that when the mushroom cloud appears too? You know, I'm beyond trying to help people who are suicide adherents. They want to die. But I am trying to help as many people as I can who want to live, and people like you. But don't waste your time on people who would rather die. There's a bunch of those people. They're the ones who took the jabs, by the way. And you probably can't save them. So work on saving those you can, and check for more podcasts here this weekend on brighteon.com. I do have other updates for you as well, and I'll be covering the Russia response in more detail Monday morning with Brighteon Broadcast News. Until then, stay safe, everybody. Thank you for listening. Take care. Also, have you seen these? These are goldbacks, and we've got different denominations to show you there. They come in 50, 25, 10, 5, and 1s. That's a stack of 1s. This is 1/1000th of a troy ounce of gold, and it's embedded in the polymer layers in the gold backs, and you can get them, again, at those different denominations, so it's good divisibility of gold. And since the gold is in the gold back itself, it's not some fiat currency. It's actually a piece of gold that you can use for gifts or barter or trade, even in a local community. If the grid goes down, a lot of people might be using gold and silver or gold backs. Now, if you go to our website, verifiedgoldbacks.com, that's our affiliate site. We do earn a little bit off your purchase there, but what we've done is we've done the laboratory testing. And on that site, you'll see my lab test results, how we tested them using a kiln, using an ICP-MS mass spec instrument, using an acid stone test here as well. We verified the purity and the masses of the gold that are embedded in these different bills. And in fact, I've got here in these vials in my hands right here, this is actually one of the pellets of gold. I melted it down into like a BB shape. I don't know if you can see it, but I've got gold in these three vials right here. Yeah, there you can kind of see it moving around there. You can hear them. And we did the tests on these, and this is the gold that came out of these gold backs. So we were able to confirm the gold is real. It's 24 karat plus, and it actually exceeds the mass that's required. Our recovery ranged from 102% to about 100 and, what was it, typically 105%. I've got the results here. Check this out. Look at these photos. I did all this myself. So if you melt them down, you get this, and then you keep melting, you get it into like a pellet, and then you use an analytical balance in the laboratory, and you do the math. It's pretty amazing. At first, you get this gold foil, which is pretty cool, and then you can melt the foil into this like BB pellet-looking thing. Anyway, here's the recoveries we got. From a low of 102.89% or 101.96%, that's the lowest, to 107% recovery. And the bottom line is, if you want real gold in your hands that's divisible, that is also incredibly beautiful, that people instantly love, they recognize this, they see, wow, that's gold, and they're actually looking at gold. This isn't paint. This is the gold, just kind of made really thin and put into this format and then sandwiched between polymers. Gold backs are your answer. So check out verifiedgoldbacks.com. And there you can purchase gold backs and you can help support this platform at the same time because we earn a small percentage. And this is a really good form of off-grid money. And you might have gold coins or silver coins. And I strongly encourage gold and silver coins, but a gold coin is a pretty big piece of value to try to trade with. You know, you're at a farmer's market, you're like, oh, I want a loaf of bread. What do you have? Oh, I have a 1 ounce gold coin. Well, that's worth $2,100 now, or $2,200, gold skyrocketing. So what are you going to do? Like buy a loaf of bread and then give me change for the 1 ounce of gold? No. But if you're trying to buy that loaf of bread with a gold back, you say, hey, how would you like 1/1000th of an ounce of gold for that loaf of bread in this format, gold backs, which actually has a premium over just the raw price of gold because it's better than just 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. I mean, it's in a format that's it's beautiful to look at. It's durable. You can carry it. It fits in a wallet or a pocket or a purse. A lot of merchants will say, absolutely, I'll take that gold. And now you can buy a loaf of bread or you can buy, you know, a bag of potatoes or whatever, depending on what the economy looks like after the debt collapse. I don't know what it's going to look like exactly, but I know I want gold and silver, and I want to have lots of different options of money that works off grid. So yeah, our grid's not reliable. Our monetary system is not reliable. The currency is not reliable. But you know what you can count on? Physical gold and silver in your hands. That's what you can count on. It doesn't need a password. You don't need to log in. It doesn't need the bank's permission to have value. It doesn't need the backing of a government. You don't have to have faith in the treasury to confiscate money from people. This has value all by itself. And gold has had value for centuries. I mean, come on, millennia, what am I saying? And it will continue to have value long after the collapse of the dollar and probably the collapse of Western civilization itself. So there you go. That's why the wealthy are buying gold like crazy. That's why gold is spiking. What is it now? Let me actually bring it up. Gold. Here it is right now. Gold at $2,128. Silver at 23.67. These are all skyrocketing. Bitcoin is skyrocketing. Gold skyrocketing. Monero is skyrocketing. Why? Because people who know what's about to happen, they are bailing out of the banks. They're bailing out of the dollars. They're getting out of the system. They're going to off-grid forms of asset protection. and that's gold and silver and land and certain types of crypto and maybe, you know, food supplies or ammunition supplies. And if you want food, of course, check us out at healthrangerstore.com and we've got you covered there. So consider your options, do your research, and make sure you are ready for what's about to happen. Look at that. That's beautiful. That's gold. This is so cool. The 50 is thick. It is very thick. And it's much larger than the one because there's 51/1000ths of an ounce of gold in this. And if you could feel it, it's heavier. It's thicker. Because the gold is actually in there. You really can't put much more gold in a bill than 51/1000ths of an ounce. So they've done a great job with this, the Goldback Company. And this is something that has really intrigued a lot of people. And it's another form of having stores of value that are highly divisible and have high utility, more utility than just a 1 ounce coin itself. So be sure to check these out again, verifiedgoldbacks.com. And thank you for your support. Get ready because we're headed into interesting times. Be safe. Take care.